and it would be the God the Bible is. We have 5 points that we're going to be talking about. So Brent, I need to, okay, yeah, welcome. If I push that, that would be, is that the right one, or is this the, I push it this way, I bet that'll do it. No. Okay, I got to have help here, I guess. Do I have to change it? This is the right one, right? And just push the side, right? Okay, so now I just push this side. Okay, good. Okay, the Bible is. That's what we're going to be talking about today. For me, I got to ask you a question. I got to ask you a question. When troubles come and your heart is heavy, where do you run to? Where do you run to? You know, in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so often we're so quick to run to unsaved people and the ungodly for advice. But shouldn't our first move be to run to God's Word? You know, I was in a meeting out at Word of Life, and it was a church that I was with. Not this church, but another one, my son's. And the youth pastor is there, and, you know, he's talking about troubles in his youth group, and he's going, yeah, there's another book here, another book. I'm going, wait a minute, why don't you just go to the Word of God? That should be the first place we go, is to the Word of God. You know, the whole idea of teaching and preaching and evangelism and all this is to help you to understand the Word of God so that you can look for yourself. And actually, if you looked at our country, the colleges in America were started so that the people would not be ignorant and be able to read the Word of God for themselves. And we've gone a long ways from that. How important is the Word of God to you? Is it the first place you go? You know, when troubles come, my dad, just after I was saved, I found out my dad had cancer. And it wasn't good. And I was shaken. But you know, God gave me a verse that day. It actually came in a postcard in the mail. It was Joshua 1:9. It says, be strong and of good courage, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And you know, I took that verse and I stood on it. And even though Satan threw his darts at me, you know, okay, your dad's going to do all this kind of stuff, I just clinged, if you will, to God's word. And you know, that word, that verse became so precious to me. It gave me strength. It gave me peace, because I found out that so often when we're in a situation and we begin to look at things from our eyes, we begin to be afraid. What we need to do is go to God, look at things from His eyes, trust in Him. You know, God doesn't get the glory until we trust in Him, we give it over to Him, but He doesn't get the glory until we rest in it. We say, okay, God, You have that. You know, do you ever notice little children? They pray, they believe it. You know? It's like it's already put, cash a check, it's already in the bank. That's the way children are. Jesus said we ought to come to Him as little children. For some reason, when you get older, we pray to God and we think, oh, maybe I could help. Maybe I got a cure here. We've got to realize that my source, well, let's put it this way. Do you ever when you say, well, I can't do that, you know? What kind of resource am I looking at? That's looking at my resources to do it. You know, I'm in a problem. I'm going to get myself. I can't do this. You're right. You can't. I need God's strength. Is anything too impossible for God? The answer is no. Nothing's impossible for God. So I need to draw upon His strength and look at Him for the resource. So going to God's Word is important. And today we're going to talk about that. The first thing we're going to talk about is the Bible is infallible. Now, what does that mean? It's unfailing in its purpose. It's unfailing in its purpose. We have a verse this morning which talks about power. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Could we read it together? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. It is the power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the word. For it is the power. You know what that word power is in the Greek? It's a dynamis. It's the same word that we get our root word from, dynamite. It is power. for it is the power of salvation. You know, I heard the word of God. The Holy Spirit convicted me through the word that I came to a saving knowledge of my precious Lord and Savior. We need the word. It is the power. It is when God, it says it's infallible. That means that it will fulfill what God's purpose is for it. The next verse we have is, can we read this? I'm going to let you read it. Here we go. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? If God told you something will happen, it will happen. It will happen. God sent His word to accomplish His perfect will in our lives. If God makes a promise to you, He'll fulfill it. There are many promises given us to in the Bible. These promises reassure us and bring comfort in our lives and in our times of trial. You know, you're in a situation, you read the word of God, and you cling on to it. You realize, has God, first of all, if I know the Lord is my personal Lord and Savior, I'm God's child. If you haven't, you're not. Now, being God's child, I read from the Word of God that nothing can happen to me unless God allows it. I read that through the book of Job. So I realize the situation I am in is really God has allowed me to be in. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, the last part of that says, for God is love. It said in verse 7 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. And here's verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In other words, God's character is love. He can't do anything different because that's his character. So even though this seems like a lot of turmoil to me, a lot of harm, and the big unknown, and it could mean death, God has a purpose for it, and it's still an act of love. But what I need to do is trust in Him. I have to trust in Him. I have to realize that when His word goes forth, He has a purpose for it. He'll send it and accomplish whatever it accomplishes. But it's there for me. It's there for me. The next thing we learn about is, whoop, went backwards. No. There we go. It's inerrant. Inerrant. What does that mean? It's free from error in all it affirms. It's free from error. I got asked this at my job. I was on senior staff, and the Bible came up. And I got talking about it, and I made the statement, yeah, the Bible is without error. Well, you'd have thought I'd had the plague. Everybody just kind of backed away from me. And they kind of like didn't talk to me much. The meeting was over and I walked back to my office. And then the owner of the company, the president, came over to my office and he says, Forrest, do you really believe that Bible's without error? I go, yeah, I do. It is. Not because I say it, because God says it. But I had a chance to share with him. The Bible does not have error. Can we read this together? The word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to these words, lest He rebuke you and be found a liar. The word of God is pure. Would you open your Bibles to Psalms 19? I'm going to give a little exercise this morning. In Psalms 19, verses 7 and 8. You know, I found out that you know, a lot of times, you ever been in an attitude where you know you need to pray, but you just, maybe you're too angry. Maybe you're too upset to pray. And then what I do is, a lot of times I go to the Word of God, I start reading the Word of God. It begins to change my attitude. and it begins to give me reassurance, everything I need. In Psalms 19, verses 7 and 8, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect concerning our soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The law of the Lord is perfect. No error. It's simple. You know what amazes me so much? That a three-year-old can understand the Word of God. That a person 100 years old can understand the Word of God. You know, when Jesus spoke to a crowd, He spoke in such a way that everyone could understand. The Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, comes across so everyone can understand. Why? Because it's not just a book. Why? Because as a believer, I have the Holy Spirit within me who helps me to understand the Word of God, according to John chapter 14 and 16. The purity of His Word does not need anything added to it. God warns us not to misrepresent His Scripture. It's inerrant. It's without error. If I read two passages and I go, "Wow, that doesn't sound right. Does this say this and this is saying this?" You know what I need to do? I need to read it more. I grew up coming to church until I was about 13 years old. I went through Bible school and everything else to hear, you know, Bible studies and what have you, and classes. And then at the age of 13, I thought I was too smart and I'd go out into the world. It wasn't until I was 30 years old that God got a hold of my life. That's what He did. And you know, He spoke to my heart. And I began to read His Word. And I was actually listening to some music that I call godly music about His Word. And I'd read it, and all of a sudden God, through His Holy Spirit, began to speak to me. He drew me to the point of salvation where I put my faith and trust in Him. And I've read the Bible before being saved, and it was just a bunch of words. It says, "Do not do this, do not do that." And that's what I was thinking in my head is, okay, you become a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then after being saved, I realized that it's not that I can't do it, it's I don't want to do it anymore. You see, I want to love my dad. I want to fall in love with my dad, and I want to please Him. I want to live for Him. And I have to realize that His Word is perfect. And you know, if you're in doubt, if you have doubts, read the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that these things seem crazy to, I'm paraphrasing, seem crazy to us because we do not have the Holy Spirit as an unbeliever. It's the Holy Spirit within us. But also says there that we need to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. In other words, I understand the Word of God with the Word of God. But it takes study. Keep studying. If you feel there's an error, keep studying. Keep studying. The next thing, as we look at this, is the Bible is complete. The Bible is complete. The Bible does not need any new chapters. It doesn't need any new revisions. I think I put that on there. Okay, we're going to read that in a second. It doesn't need new revisions. You know, I work with drawings. Mark works with drawings. And sometimes it can be almost through the alphabet with revisions. Or this is the 25th revision of it or what have you. But I looked at my Bible. It's still on Rev 1. Still on Rev 1. It does not have to be revised. The Word of God does not need any new chapters or verses. It is already given to us. Many cults like to add to this book or commentaries to the Bible. All you need is the Word of God because it is the Holy Word of God. It is complete. It is complete. And God tells us not to add to it. God tells us not to add with it. Could we read this verse together? "For I test..." So when we read, I think one of the, when I was saved at 30 years old, I picked up a Bible. It was called an open Bible. The first thing it did was talk about the Word of God. And really did is it led me through a course of study in the Word of God so that I can confirm in my heart. You see, as we grow in the Lord, we begin to draw these convictions. I needed to trust in the Word of God. So it took me through studies and realized that the Word of God didn't come by one person. It came by divine authority. And it's there for me. And you know, I don't have to defend God's Word. I found that out too. When you share Christ, a lot of times we feel like we've got to defend the Word of God. Or a lot of times what we talk about occults and how they like to add to it is I've always looked to see, you buy a book and it gives you one verse, and then what it does, it takes that verse on a hayride. In other words, what we try to do is take the Word of God and support it with the Word of God, and support it with the Word of God, instead of taking one verse and say, okay, this is what it is, what it means. So we need to be in the Word of God. How does a bank teller tell a real dollar bill from a counterfeit? Anyone? The what? They study the real one. That's right. They're given a real dollar bill and they're asked to study it. Then they're given a counterfeit and they recognize the counterfeit. We need to study the Word of God so that we know a counterfeit when we see one. There's a lot of shows on television today, a lot of commentaries, and what they do is they try to play down the miracles of God. You know, and when Jesus walked this earth, there were three major religions. There was the Pharisee. The Pharisee was religious on the outside, but he was rotten on the inside. He figured, okay, I'm going to act it out. Then there was a Sadducee, and a Sadducee did not believe in the supernatural, like angels, miracles, or what have you that God did. And then you had the Herodians, and they believed in Herod. They followed Herod or religion. It was a religion, but it was man's word, if you will. And what it is the Pharisee just followed it to the letter. In other words, he was the guy, if you read in Matthew chapter 6, he was the person who prayed out on the street corner so everybody could see that he was praying and go, oh my, is that guy religious? Oh my, is he religious, you know? But inward, he did not have a relationship. And we see that over in John chapter 8, verse 44. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees there and the scholars. And he's saying, you are of the Father, your devil. In other words, they did not have a personal relationship with Christ. As we read the Bible does not teach religion. What it teaches is a relationship, a personal one-on-one relationship with the Heavenly Father. Occults do not teach that. Okay, the next thing we have is, the Bible is authoritative and final. It's authoritative and final. The Word of God does not change and carries the right to prescribe beliefs and actions. Does not change. Ooh, what happened here? We don't have a... Right, it's the right to prescribe. Okay, there we go. Okay, this is a short verse. We can read this together. How's that? Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. For how long? Forever, forever, forever. The Word of God is the only source for absolute divine authority. This divine authority is for you and me as servants of Jesus Christ. Some say, I have a word from God for you. Write it down, and as you study words of God, see if the Lord speaks to you through the Scriptures. Only then will you know if God is truly speaking to you. In other words, in everything we do, it should line up with the Scriptures. It would never contradict the Scriptures. I spoke with a man, it would be 3 weeks ago now. He's a pilot. In fact, he's a training pilot here in the state of New Hampshire for fixed wing. And we were talking because he asked me what I believe. And as I was sharing him about Christ and the Bible and how it was true, and he goes, well, I was brought up in a religion that's kind of like, you know, everybody for themselves. And he goes, I kind of believe that there's life somewhere else. What do you think of that? Like, I can only tell you there's life here on earth and according to God's word. But what it rung out to me was, is the unsaved are so quick to believe in something other than Christ. Let's take evolution. Evolution is a religion. Why is it a religion? Because you have to put your faith and trust that somewhere there was matter. Somewhere there was a force. Somewhere there was a big bang. And everything came into play. And man is so quick to grab at that and believe it. You know, I recently saw a film, and it dealt with just facts, if you will. By the way, a lot of people do not like to deal with facts, but you know, how accurate is carbon dating? Good question, right? Yeah. So up in Labrador, they have an iceberg, and they drilled into that ice. And they went down, I don't know how many feet, but they pulled out this core material, and they go, okay, this iceberg is like 50 million years old. So everybody got 50 million years old. Wow, that's fabulous. Everything was going great until they hit a World War II airplane underneath the ice, underneath that core. The bottom line is carbon dating is not accurate. And if you look at it a lot, they have already come to a conclusion. They just want to support their thought. In fact, we can be like that as we read the Bible. That we can pick up the Word of God and we go, okay, this is what I believe. God, show me how I can support it. We don't say it like that, but that's what we're really doing. Instead of going to the Word of God and allowing God's Word to show me what He's saying. Understand, as we talk about the Bible this morning and all these factors, that it is authoritative and it's final. And He is a divine, whether I like it or not, it is true and final. Do you ever talk to someone and say, I did this, but I know you can't find it in the Bible, but, you know? Well, the old thing saying is, well, get the but out of the way, you know? Read the Bible. Believe what God's Word says. If you're not sure, just keep reading. Talk about it. Keep reading. Keep praying. God will show you. The last thing is, it's totally sufficient for your needs. The Bible is totally sufficient for your needs. The Bible contains all needed information for Christian living. All information for Christian living. Can we read this verse together? As newborn babes, desire pure milk. Right. Now, Bonnie, you have a young child that's just been born. How much would that child grow if you did not feed him? Foolish question, isn't it? Foolish question. Yet sometimes, as believers, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then we forget all about Him. We do not read His Word. But this verse tells me that the Word of God helps you grow. So, when we're saying the Word of God is sufficient for my needs, if I want to grow, I need to study the Word of God. I need to study the Word of God. It's there also for guidance. It says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Earlier in that verse, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. By the way, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. We do not need anything else. That's right. We do not need anything else. The Word of God is sufficient. We can read this together. All Scripture. Did this verse leave anything out? Is there anything left out there? It says in the final line that the man of God may be what? Complete. 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 We Christians can be totally secure in the Lord by studying God's Word, the Bible, because it's God's plan for our life. I mentioned this morning in the Sunday school time, but did you ever notice that some of the hardest things to do is really what we should be doing? You know, you find out when you look at the full armor of God, it says take the spear, the sword, which is the word. In other words, the sword is the only offensive weapon that we have. But we need to take it, we need to read it. We need to use it in our lives. But it also becomes the most hardest thing to do is to read the Word of God. I mean, how many here have ever purposed to read the Word of God and in a couple of weeks it faded away? How many people here have determined they're going to have family devotions, but within a month or so, they no longer were happening? Or getting up early to spend time with the Lord before you go to work. Spending time with the Lord once a day. Yet, in just a little while, fades away. How hard is it to pray? You ever notice all these things that are hardest for us to do are the things that we should be doing? You know, over the years I've heard people say, you know what, I've got to go to a different church because I'm not being fed. And I'm thinking, you told me nothing about the church, you told me everything about yourself. My Bible tells me to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's my responsibility to study the word of God so that I may grow. We should be ourselves. It's like a triangle, okay? I love my wife, but if I want to get a better relationship with my wife, I need a better relationship with my Lord. If we want to get a better relationship with us, we need to get a better relationship with the Lord first. And John says, if we walk in light as he is in light, we have what? Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. So if we're walking in the light, we're going to have a tight relationship, aren't we, as brothers and sisters in Christ? But if we're not walking, so is the problem here or here? Generally, it's here. It's spending time with God in his word, spending time with him, and not just reading. A couple things that happen when you go to Bible school. One of the first things that you have is that this doesn't become a study book. It has to stay the word of God, because when we're studying academically, it becomes our study book. But it really needs to be the word of God. The other thing is when you're ministering, you realize you're there for the person you're ministering and not yourself. We kind of get things wrong, and the reason why we do is because we're not in the Word of God. I just come for you this morning and just tell you how important the Word of God is. If you feel your relationship with the Lord is not like it should be, then I'm going to ask you something. How much time are you spending in the Word? How much time are you spending in prayer before you open up the Word? How much time do you really look at the time you have in the Word with the Lord as time with Him? You know, I wouldn't have the relationship with my wife unless we communicated with each other. First of all, the Lord comes first in my life. For my wife, she loves the Lord before she ever loves me. I want it that way. I love the Lord first, my wife is second, my children is next, my family, and then the church. But you know, we want a close relationship with the Lord. We want to walk in the center of His will, but yet we don't spend time in His Word. We don't run to Him. We don't run to His Word. We don't stand on the Word. We don't take the time. When that verse that I read, it says, study to show thyself approved. The whole idea of studying is that you just don't read it, but you chew it over. You question it. You chew it over. You study it. You dig into it. You find other verses that support it. You get in the Word of God. And by the way, as I said, the way to understand Scripture is through Scripture. Do you need help? You find help through teachers, through people who come alongside. They love to disciple you and help you understand the Word of God. I want to challenge you to take time to study the Word of God. God will show you wonderful things, and you'll realize that everything you need for your life is found in the Word of God. And that not only will you change, but other people around you will see the change in you. And they'll want what you have, because Christ will become the light in your life. If you're here this morning, you do not know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, the first thing you need to do is trust in the Lord as your personal Savior, to realize there's only one way. And in John 14:6, it said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We read a verse in Romans today, Romans 1:16, is for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we ask ourselves, what is the gospel? It is God's word. And we say it's good news. Yes, it is good news. But you go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. We find out the gospel is this. The gospel is this. Paul said in verses 1 and 2, he says, that I talk to you in what I've already experienced myself. How that, in verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died and was buried according to the Scriptures, and then He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. In other words, He did what He said He would do. I serve a risen Savior. He's alive. He's living. I walk in a love relationship with Him. That's what I desire for you, that we get into the Word, that we spend time with our Dad. We just grow. I determine in our hearts to love Him more each day, and to honor Him more each day. Okay. We stand together.